Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We're back with another hour of sports happening inside of the Mitten all over the state of Michigan. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're about to go through an hour of what's happening around the state. Now, there is plenty to dive into as tons has happened over this last week. Of course, we're going to be starting with the Detroit Lions as they just wrapped up their season. We're also going to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs. We're going to talk about Michigan and the end of their football season. And then we're going to talk about the college football playoff as well. We're going to get into some Michigan and Michigan basketball, or excuse me, Michigan and Michigan State basketball, as both of their seasons are off to a great start, and they're going to look to continue that success throughout the season. Then, of course, we got to talk Pistons and Red Wings before we get into our picks to close things out. I'm feeling great. It's another week down, first week of 2026, and we're looking for, well, to have another great weekend of sports. Michigan did lose over the weekend, technically. You know, it was a long weekend with the holiday. They lost back on New Year's Eve to Texas in football. The Packers did lose to the Bears last week. So it was a tough week for me sports-wise, but the Michigan basketball team and the Detroit Pistons kind of holding me together along with the Red Wings. So not a ton to complain about. But this weekend is going to be exciting, as obviously the NFL playoffs are kicking off and the college football playoff is coming to a wrap-up, and then there's more sports mixed in between. So with so much to talk about, we'll not delay any longer. The Lions end their season at 9-8 after a 19-16 victory over the Bears this past weekend. Jared Goff goes 27-42 for a touchdown and interception, 331 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs had 19 carries for 80 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 11 receptions for 139 receiving yards. Aiden Hutchinson had a sack, and Jack Campbell had 11 tackles, four of them being solo. Meanwhile, the Bears, who did not sit because they thought that they might need to win this game in order to get that two seed in the playoffs, Caleb Williams goes 20 of 33, two touchdowns, one interception for 212 yards. DeAndre Swift had 40 rushing yards on 10 carries. Colston Loveland, 10 receptions, 91 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Michigan football fans love to hear that. Andrew Billings had a sack, and then Kevin Byard the third, eight tackles, two of them being solo. The Lions outgained the Bears 433-270 in the yards component. They each had a turnover, 26 first downs for the Lions, 16 for the Bears, six penalties for 35 yards for the Lions, four penalties for 25 yards for the Bears, 6-for-13 on third down for the Lions, 4-for-11 for Chicago. Chicago's goes 1-for-2 on fourth down. The Lions did not attempt a fourth down play. The Lions went 1-for-4 in the red zone, while the Bears went 1-for-1, and that is what kept this game close, honestly. Jake Bates opened things up with a 34-yard field goal in the first. He had another 30-yard field goal in the second. Then Jahmyr Gibbs had a 15-yard touchdown reception from Jared Goff in the second quarter. Lions lead 13-0 at half. Coming out of the half, Jake Bates, 25-yard field goal. They lead 16-0. And then Jadae Walker, 25-yard touchdown pass from Caleb Williams, 16-8 after a two-point conversion from Kyle Menange. And then Colston Loveland caught his one-yard touchdown pass from Caleb Williams. And then they got the two-point conversion from Cole Kmet to tie things up at 16. And then Jake Bates, as clock expired, cashed in a 42-yard field goal to give the Lions the victory. So looking at the standings in the NFC North to close out the season, Chicago wins the division at 11-6. Green Bay comes in second place, 9-7-1. So that tie literally ended up being a lifesaver for the Green Bay Packers and is the difference between them making the playoffs and them maybe not making the playoffs. Minnesota goes 9-8, and Detroit goes 9-8 as well. So just missing out on the playoffs. In fact, the Lions are in fourth place in the NFC North. This means that, well, their schedule should be a little bit easier next year. There's going to be some fourth place teams that they'll play next year instead of first place teams. And I believe they're better than most fourth place teams around the NFL. So that should help them out and get them back near the top of the NFC North next year. Taking a look at some of the season leaders for the season, obviously, Jared Goff is going to lead the team in passing yards, 4,564 with 34 total TDs. His QBR, 58.6. Jahmyr Gibbs led the team with 1,223 rushing yards on 243 carries and 13 touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 1,401 receiving yards on 117 receptions and 11 touchdowns. The team was third in the league with 253.1 passing yards, 14th with 120.1 rushing yards, tied for fourth with 28.3 points per game, and tied for 22nd in the league, giving up 24.3 points per game. Defensively, Jack Campbell led the team in tackles with 176, and he had 5 sacks. Aiden Hutchinson down in the sack department, of course, 14.5 where he landed this year. He had 54 tackles. Kirby Joseph led the team in interceptions with 3. He had 4 passes broken up and 18 tackles on the year as well. So, I mean, obviously an up and down year for the Lions. A lot that they wish would have gone a little bit differently for them. I mean, you don't want to open up the year with a 14-point loss to the Green Bay Packers. You don't want to lose to the Chiefs by 2 possessions. Getting swept by the Vikings, not great, right? Getting swept by the Packers, not great. And then you had a 3-game losing streak right toward the end of the year when you needed to win some games, losing to the Rams, the Steelers, and the Vikings. That's going to hurt you. You got to be able to win those kind of games. And the Lions just weren't able to do that this year. So pretty soon they're going to have to turn their attention to the draft, free agency, and really putting this team together and trying to keep some of these guys around, look for some replacements, and most importantly, just, try and get a new OC in the office after they parted ways with Morton. So they're also going to be looking at a lot of different things here in the offseason. Not a ton to be worried about, but there are a few question marks for Lions fans. Taking a quick look at the playoffs, the Packers and Bears are the 2-7 seed in the NFC. Coming up in the 1 seed, obviously, is the Seattle Seahawks. And then the 3-6 matchup is the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. The Los Angeles Rams will travel to take on the Carolina Panthers, even though the Panthers have a far worse record than the Rams. A lot of conversation has been brought up about the NFL playoff structure being changed. And it's been happening the last few years, so there is a possibility that it changes again. And you see some differences coming to that scenario. Over in the AFC, the Chargers will travel to take on the second-ranked Patriots. The Bills will travel to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the 6-3 matchup. And then the Houston Texans will travel to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 5-4 matchup on the AFC side. The Denver Broncos will be the bye, or the 1 seed with the bye. Then you have your divisional round games on the 17th and 18th. Conference championship round is the 25th. And of course, the big game coming up in February. We're going to dive deeper into the NFL playoffs when we get around to our picks, because we're just going to do all 6 playoff games to open up the NFL season. Why are NFL playoffs? Why else would we be here? We're not going to do any other games, so not even going to talk about any of these games and what I'm expecting to see, who's going to be there, anything like that, because we can do that later on in the show. But we do have to talk about Michigan. The Wolverines took on the Texas Longhorns on New Year's Eve in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. And, well, this was a fantastic game. Bryce Underwood goes 23 of 42 for 199 yards, two touchdowns, but three interceptions. Bryson Kuzdahl, who ended up being the top running back in this game, goes for 20 carries for 82 rushing yards. Donovan McCulley had four receptions for 54 yards. No sacks for the Wolverines, but TJ Metcalf had seven tackles, five of them being solo. Meanwhile, Arch Manning goes 21 of 34, 221 passing yards, two TDs. He had a crazy game on the ground, which we talked a little bit about this last week. 155 rushing yards, nine carries, two touchdowns. Ryan Wingo had 64 yards, four receptions. So this game got out of hand quickly. Shipley cashes in on a field goal. Zavada and cashes in a field goal as well to tie things up. Then Kendrick Bell had one of the best catches we've ever seen in our lives. Our lives. So that game could have been much better for Michigan, but they ended up losing by 14. Won't dive too much more into that, but I do want to talk about Michigan and some of the things that they've had going on recently. Bryce Underwood obviously led them in passing yards. Jordan Marshall led in rushing yards. Andrew Marsh, the leading receiver. All three of those players will be returning to this team in the next season. Taking a look here at some recruits that they're going to be bringing in. Carter Meadows, Savion Hyder, John Henry Daly, who transferred from the University of Utah. Shocker, right? He's going to be coming over. And they're looking at Taylor Tatum, a running back who used to be a top running back in his high school class, is transferring from the University of Oklahoma. So he's going to be playing some football for Michigan. They got a kicker, two of them, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and Cam Brown, and Trey Batowski coming from the University of Pittsburgh. Long snapper coming in, Colton Dremmer. So they really took advantage of their time to address the problems that had existed in the special teams area. And then obviously they brought in Tommy Carr, Saline High School quarterback. So there's a lot going on here with this this class, and obviously there's still tons more going on when you look at the transfer portal and who could be coming in and out. But we do know that Braden Hillman will be leaving the Michigan Wolverines. We do know TJ Metcalf will be leaving the Michigan Wolverines. And there's some leaving for the NFL draft and such. So we'll keep an eye on this roster and Michigan State's as well over the next couple of weeks as they hit the transfer portal hard to prepare for the next college football season. But speaking of college football, you know, we got to talk about the playoffs. It's been a wild playoff. Things opened up with Alabama taking down Oklahoma, and then you had Oregon taking down James Madison. Ole Miss beat Tulane, and Miami beat Texas A&M. Then the quarterfinals were fantastic, which we picked all of those games. Oregon rolled, had no problems taking down Texas Tech 23-0. Indiana rolled over Alabama 38-3. Ole Miss beats Georgia in a thriller 39-34. Miami over Ohio State 24-14. And then just the other night, Miami took down Ole Miss in another thriller of a game in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl 31-27. You guys, by the time you're hearing this, have heard and know what is happening and what happened with the Indiana-Oregon game and the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I don't have that information as I record this on Friday. I am imagining that Indiana will win, but anything could happen. Oregon's lone loss this year was to Indiana, so maybe they get revenge and we see Miami-Oregon championship, or we're going to see an Indiana-Miami championship, and we'll have more on that next week. But when we come back from the break here on Mid-Madness, we're going to be talking Michigan and Michigan State stepping inside. on the hardwood for both of those teams and looking at the early Big Ten season they had and what's coming up for them. But that's all coming up after the break when we get you more Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do Washington a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA, America's wireless companies, and the National Safety Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about Michigan and Michigan State when it comes to college basketball. We're going to start with the Spartans. The last time we talked about the Spartans, they were preparing to take on the 13th ranked Nebraska Cornhuskers. And Michigan State ended up losing this game by 2. Nebraska staying undefeated, moving to 3-0 in the Big Ten. Rank Mass goes for 19 on 6 of 15 shooting, 1 for 2 from the free throw line. Jackson Kohler led the Spartans 7 of 10 from the field for 19 points. Carson Cooper at 13 rebounds. Mass also led the Cornhuskers with 7. And then Jeremy Fears Jr., 7 assists, 4 turnovers in 35 minutes. Sam Hoiberg, though, doing his thing as well. 5 assists, no turnovers in 32 minutes of play. Spartans shot 34% from the field, Nebraska 32%, 36% from deep for Michigan State, 35% for Nebraska, 80% from the free throw line for Michigan State, 69% for Nebraska. And here is where Michigan State lost the game. They had 21 turnovers in this game compared to Nebraska's just 8. 45 rebounds for the Spartans, 30 for the Cornhuskers. Nebraska held the lead in this game for 43% of the game, 25% for the Spartans. The rest, it was tied. The largest lead of the game was 9 for the Cornhuskers, 4 for the Spartans. So Nebraska continues to stay impressive early on in this season. And then Michigan State, of course, bounced back after those two games. They took down USC in convincing fashion, winning by 29 points. Much like Michigan had done previously, they had just played them 2 nights before. Michigan took down USC by 30, which we'll talk about in just a few moments. Ezra Asar went 5 for 11 for 16 points, 6 for 8 from the free throw line. He also had 7 rebounds, and then Cam Woods had 3 assists, 2 turnovers in 21 minutes. For the Spartans, Cohen Carr led the squad with 18 points, 6 of 14 from the field, 5 of 8 from the free throw line. Jackson Kohler had 8 rebounds, and Jeremy Fears Jr., 7 assists, 3 turnovers in 28 minutes. 50% from the field, 32% from the three-point line, 72% from the free throw line, 12 turnovers, 39 rebounds. Held the lead for 86% of the game, and their largest lead was 29 for the Spartans. Meanwhile, USC, 33% from the field, 18 from behind the arc, 75% from the free throw line, 17 turnovers, 30 rebounds, held the lead for 13% of the game, and their largest lead was just 5 points. And then the Spartans took on Northwestern, and, well, they let Nick Martinelli give it to them. 28 points on 8 of 11 shooting, 10 for 10 from the free throw line. He also had 5 rebounds. And then Jaden Reed at 8 assists, no turnovers in 29 minutes of play. For the Spartans, Carson Cooper doing his thing again with 18 points and 9 rebounds, 6 for 6 from the field, 6 for 8 from the free throw line. Jeremy Fears, 5 assists, 0 turnovers in 29 minutes of play. Northwestern, 38% from the field, 23% from the three-point line, 80% from the free throw line. Only 6 turnovers for the Wildcats, 25 rebounds. They held the lead for 46% of this game and had their largest lead of the game being 8. Meanwhile, the Spartans, 49% from the field, 28 from 3, 70% from the free throw line, 15 turnovers in this game, 42 rebounds, held the lead for 45% of the game, and their largest lead was just 10. This game was at the Breslin Center, but they were able to come out with a 10-point victory, which many thought probably should have been higher when you look at Northwestern, who's 8-7, and they're 0-4 in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, Michigan State is 14-2. And they're 4-1 in the Big Ten, which is good enough for fourth place for them. They're half game behind the three teams that are tied for the lead in the conference at a perfect 3-0. Their next game is going to be on the 13th, which, looking at the calendar, that is going to be on Tuesday. They'll take on Indiana, 8 p.m. on Peacock, and then they will play at Washington. This game is to be determined on Big Ten Network, both the date and time, but it has to be sometime between the 13th and the 20th because they will play Oregon at 9 p.m. on January 20th on FS1. So the Spartans, by far, have nothing to worry about so far. They have their one blemish in conference play. They have their one blemish out of conference play to Duke by just 6 points. Both their losses by a combined 8 points. So nothing really for Michigan State to worry about. Multiple quad one wins as well. So they're pacing toward not only having a confident spot and comfortable spot in the Big Ten and in the conference tournament, but also getting a nice seeding in the NCAA tournament and possibly being able to make a run. Looking at their counterparts within the state, the Michigan Wolverines are still a perfect 14-0. They're 4-0 on the year. They're in the conference play, tied with Nebraska and Purdue. Purdue technically sits below Michigan in the conference standings because they are 14-1 and have a loss on their record. And then Nebraska technically sits above Michigan because they played one more game than Michigan and are technically 15-0 on the year. But things were interesting for Michigan in this last week. Last time we talked, they were preparing to play USC. And as I mentioned earlier in this segment, Michigan had no problems with USC. Well, I shouldn't say no problems, but they took them down 96-66, a 30-point victory, largely on the back of Morez Johnson. 29 points on 10 of 12 shooting, 8 of 10 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds in the game. Elliot Cadeau had 7 assists, 3 turnovers in 29 minutes. Meanwhile, USC... Jaden Brownell goes for 16 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, also had 6 rebounds. And then Chad Baker Mazzara, 2 assists, 5 turnovers, and 23 minutes of play. The rundown, USC shoots 34% from the field, 22% from the free throw line, 64% from the free throw line. They had 21 turnovers in this game, but they didn't muster to grab 35 rebounds. Wild thing is, they led for 0% of this game. And they had no amount of lead at all. Meanwhile, for the Wolverines, they shot 48% from the field, 20% from the three-point line, 72% from the free throw line. They only had 11 turnovers. They grabbed 40 rebounds. They led for 99% of this game, and their largest lead was 30. Michigan got off to a slow start, one of their worst shooting games of the season, but I think that Chrysler Center home advantage really helped them out there. They did cover the spread in this game, and they were able to move on, staying undefeated. But their next game, it would be a test. Their next game would be a test. I mean, looking in, nobody thought it would be, right? Penn State was coming into the game at 9-6. They were 0-3 in the Big Ten at the moment. And who thought that they would be able to compete with Michigan? Well, they came in and they made it their business to compete. Ivan Jurek had 20 points on 6 of 13 shooting, 6 for 8 from the free throw line. Josh Reed grabbed 10 boards. And then Freddie DeLeon the fifth had 4 assists, 2 turnovers in 38 minutes. Penn State, I mean, they came out to play. LJ Kaysen had 14 points, 5 of 8 field goals, 2 for 3 from the free throw line for the Wolverines. Yaxel Landenborg led the team with 7 rebounds, also 4 assists, no turnovers in his 27 minutes of play. Michigan shot 46% from the field, 30% from the three-point line, 74% from the free throw line, 12 turnovers, 37 rebounds. They led for 80% of the game, and their largest lead was 15. Meanwhile, the Bryce Jordan Center crowd, which was almost non-existent in University Park, Pennsylvania, took on or shot 35% in this game from the field, 27% from the three-point line, 78% from the free throw line. They had 10 turnovers, 43 rebounds. They led for 17% of the game, and their largest lead was six points. So they hung in. They covered the spread, one of the few teams this year to cover the spread against Michigan, but ultimately a three-pointer at the buzzer that did not go in ended up being the difference in this game, and Michigan would go on to win by 2, 74-72, just escaping a disastrous upset loss that probably would have turned not only the Big Ten on its head, but the entire NCAA basketball community on its head. So Michigan going to look to clean up a few mistakes, mostly shoot better and take care of the ball a little bit better as they prepare to take on Wisconsin. That game is going to be later today, 1 p.m. on CBS. And then they will take on Washington. That game is going to be Wednesday, 1:14 at 10:30 p.m. on BTN before they take on Oregon. Both of these games are on the road for Michigan, so they will host Wisconsin at the Chrysler Center. Then they'll be on the road at Washington, 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday, 1:14 on the Big Ten Network. And then they will be on the road at Oregon, 1:17, 4 p.m. on NBC. So those are all games to keep an eye on as Michigan looks to stay undefeated, not only in a conference play, but on the season before they run into Indiana, Ohio State, and then they have their two ranked matchups before it gets a little bit tougher. Nebraska at 10, Michigan State at 12, and then later on they play 5th-ranked Purdue, 6th-ranked Duke, 16th-ranked Illinois, 19th-ranked Iowa. It's going to get tough for the Michigan Wolverines, but as of right now, they're still playing really great basketball. They're still figuring out how to win games, whether it's by 30 or by 2 or by 1 or by 4 or by 40 or by 10. It doesn't matter. They're winning games, and they're still perfect and undefeated. They're going to look to continue that success. But obviously, like I mentioned, the next notable game for them really isn't until January 27th, that's going to be a 7 p.m. game on Peacock against the Nebraska Cornhuskers, who are also undefeated. They're 10th in the country, the first time they've ever been ranked top 10 in the country, and they took down Michigan State. So there's a lot at stake when they get ready to take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And then 3 days after that, they have the biggest game of the season, the Michigan State Wolverines, or the Michigan State Spartans, and it's on the road at Breslin. So it's going to be a tough stretch toward the end of January into February. But if anybody can handle it, it seems like these Michigan Wolverines can. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about the Detroit Pistons, the Detroit Red Wings, and everything happening in Little Caesars Arena here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Mike Rowe on the skills gap and how a student organization known as Skills USA is trying to fill it.
So the thing about Skills USA that's so cool, and the reason that my foundation has supported it for years, is that it's deliberately and intentionally focused on celebrating a skill. 3 million jobs right now exist in the trades and transportation and commerce. The skills gap is real. Training kids and getting them excited to do the jobs that exist ought to be job one. Skills USA does that in a big way. It's about excellence and competition and being good at what you do, and eventually through all of that, learning who you are. Skills USA is working.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to step inside of Little Caesars Arena, and we're going to talk about two first place teams. Yeah, you heard that right. First place for both the squads that are playing inside of the same arena. Looking at those standings first, in the NBA for the Detroit Pistons, they not only sit atop of the Central Division, they sit atop of the entire Eastern Conference. They are 28-9. They're 4 games above the Knicks, who are 24-13, 4.5 above the Celtics at 23-13, 5.5 above the Toronto Raptors, who are 23-15, 7 games above the 76ers at 20-15, and 7.5 above the Magic, who are 21-17. That's your top six who are going to make the playoffs in the East. Then you have Miami, who's 20-17, 8 games back, tied. 8 games back are the Cleveland Cavaliers at 21-18. And then the Atlanta Hawks are 18-21, 11 games back. And so are the Chicago Bulls, who are 17-20. Those four make up your 7-10 play-in squads. The Pistons are still fighting to get to that number one seed in the entire NBA. They are 28-9. They're 2.5 games behind the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are 31-7. So the Pistons are definitely doing everything they can to not only put pressure on the Thunder, but really just to maintain who they are as a team and continue to win games. Looking at the team leaders, Cade Cunningham, 26.7 points per game on 46% shooting, also has 9.6 assists and just 3.9 turnovers in 35.8 minutes per game. Jalen Duren, 17.9 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, and 63.3% shooting from the field in 28.4 minutes. Cade Cunningham also has 1.6 steals, and Isaiah Stewart, 5.6 rebounds, 0.3 steals, and 2.1 blocks per game. The team has 118.5 points per game, 46.1 rebounds, 26.8 assists. Taking a look at their schedule, I mean, things have been great for them over the last couple of days. They did drop a game on the first to Miami since we last talked. That was Thursday. They lost 118-112. But since then, they're back on a 3-game win streak. They took down the Cleveland Cavaliers 114-110. Cade Cunningham led the squad with 27-7. Ron Holland had 10 rebounds. Then the very next day, they took on the New York Knicks for first place in the East. And they remember what happened back at the end of last season in May when the Knicks took down the Pistons and ended their season. This is the first time they had played since then. Yeah, Pistons gave them a 31-point loss. Take that L and start walking with it, buddy. They didn't want anything to do with the Knicks. Cade Cunningham had 29-13. Isaiah Stewart, 9 rebounds. And then they just played the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday, and you'll never guess who was the star. It was Isaiah Stewart, a career-high 31 points for Stewart. Assur Thompson had 8 rebounds. Danis Jenkins pours in a career-high 15 assists as well in this game as the Pistons win 108-93, giving them that 3-game victory. They're going to look to get revenge on the Los Angeles Clippers, who the last time they saw them was on the road at Crypto Arena back on Sunday, December 28th, and they let Kawhi Leonard drop 55 points and the Clippers grab a victory. They're going to look to avenge that before they take on the Phoenix Suns Thursday, January 15th. They get a little bit of a break after playing on Saturday, 4 days off before playing again on Thursday. Then they'll play again next Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. So, I mean, really, there's not a ton to talk about here with the Pistons other than they look absolutely phenomenal. Cade Cunningham is day-to-day at the moment. He sat out with a wrist injury against the Bulls, but Chaz Lanier filled in spectacularly for him in that game, and there was basically no real drop-off, especially when you got Isaiah Stewart going for a career-high 31 points. So they'll look to maintain their number one seed in the Eastern Conference and in the Central Division, while also looking to make a push to be the number one team in all of the NBA, as they have had a phenomenal start to the season, led by none other than Cade Cunningham, who has definitely worked his way into the MVP conversation. Switching over to lay the ice down in Little Caesars Arena and talk about the Detroit Red Wings, who are tied for first in the Atlantic Division with the Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens are 25-13-6 for 56 points. Red Wings are 26-15-4 for that same amount of points. And then you have the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are 26-13-3 for 55 points. The Sabres, 23-15-4 for 50 points. Shout out Sabres, trying to make a run here over the last couple of weeks. The Maple Leafs, 21-15-7, 49 points. Bruins, 23-19-2 for 48 points. The Florida Panthers, 22-18-3 for 47 points. And the Senators are 20-18-5 for 45 points. Looking at the league overall, the Red Wings are sitting in sixth place, well, tied for fifth technically, with the Canadiens, only sitting behind the Hurricanes, the Wild, the Stars, and the Avalanche. In division, like I mentioned, they're tied for first. In the Eastern Conference, they are also tied for second, only sitting 1 point behind the Hurricanes as they are tied with the Canadiens. Looking at the stat leaders for this squad, Alex DeBrincat has taken over in the goals department. He has 10 on the power play, 22 overall, and 154 shots. Lucas Raymond continues to do his thing. He leads the team with 47 points. He has 34 assists, 13 goals. His plus minus is 6, and he has 15 power play assists. The team scores 3.09 goals per game, gives up 3.11 goals per game, good for 16th. In the league, their power play is at 24.8%, which is good for 6th in the league. The penalty kill at 80.2%, good for 15th in the league. Meanwhile, goaltending John Gibson has been a star of recent, only giving up 2.86 goals per game, 72 goals against on 637 saves on 709 shots. His save percentage, 0.898. And he has 15 wins on the season so far. The last time we talked about the Red Wings, they were just coming off of a loss to Pittsburgh 4-1 after losing, or sorry, lost to Pittsburgh 4-3. And they turn around and lost to them 4-1 in the very next game. Gibson grabbed that loss. The top performer was Van Riemsdyk, or excuse me, was Gibson, because, I mean, he had all the saves in the world that he could and just wasn't enough. Then the winning streak gets back started on the road at Iowa. Red Wings win 5-3. Van Riemsdyk is going to be your top performer. Gibson picks up the win in net. And then they just took down Vancouver at Little Caesars Arena 5-1 Thursday night. Gibson was your top performer as he gets the win in that game as well. Their next game is going to be against none other then the Montreal Canadiens. If they're able to beat the Canadiens on the road, they're going to take first place in the Atlantic Division. And then they have Carolina coming up after that. So they really could not only have first place in the Atlantic, but they could also have first place in the entire Eastern Conference if they're able to go out and win their next two games. And then they play Boston on the road, which we know is a tough game, before they take on San Jose Friday, January 16th. Four games in this next week. If they're able to win those and start a six-game win streak, they're putting themselves in pristine position to not only, you know, take advantage of the spot they have at the top of the Atlantic Division, but take advantage of being the top seed in the entire Eastern Conference. You know what that means? That means they're going to be hosting playoffs at Little Caesars Arena all the way through. So take advantage and run with this opportunity. Leave Gibson and Ned as much as you can. You know, they get Talbot a game here and there when they need it, but for the most part, Gibson is your rider, and you continue to rock with him until you have no reason to. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about our picks, and we'll be back next week talking more Pistons and Red Wings with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into one of the best parts of the show. It's time for us to get into the picks. Now, you can play along with the picks every single week to see how well you know ball and to see if you know ball better than I know ball. All you have to do is listen for the games that we're going to be picking. You can hear my deliberation and what I have to say about it, my picks, my thought process. Do your own deliberation, research, thoughts, and then make your picks. You head on over to the chat feature in the 95.3 The Ticket app, and then you submit those picks into the chat feature. I'll take a look, see what you got up there, see if you know you think like me or if you think a little bit differently. Either way, the whole idea is for just some little friendly competition and banter. See if anybody knows ball as well or better than I do. Now, remember, Jacob tried three different times to know ball better than your boy. And, well, he tied me once. He was almost there one time. But other than that, I took care of business, easy peasy lemon squeezy, because your boy knows ball and there's nobody better. Once again, use the chat feature in the 95.3 The Ticket app to jump in on the picks fun and see if you know ball just as well or better than I do. This weekend, the NFL playoffs kick off, and that's exactly where we will be. The first game, 4:30 p.m. on Fox, will be the Los Angeles Rams, 12-5. They're 5-4 on the road, taking on the Carolina Panthers, who are 8-9 and 5-3 at home. This game will be at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. This game is later today. It will be here on 95.3 The Ticket. You got Stafford versus Bryce Young, Kyren Williams versus Rico Dowdle, Nacua versus Tetero McMillan, Byron Young versus Derek Brown, Nate Landman versus Christian Roseboom. Terrence Ferguson is questionable for this game with a hamstring injury. Josh Wallace questionable with an ankle injury for the Panther or for the Rams. Everyone else is really on the IR, out for both of these squads. Last five for the Rams, a little tough. They lost two games, one to Seattle in overtime by 1 point, and the other to Atlanta by 3 points. They did take down Arizona twice and Detroit. The Panthers, on the other hand, they beat the Rams a couple of weeks ago, 31-28, but then they lost to the Saints, beat the Bucks, and then lost to the 49ers and the Bucks again. Granted, the last time they played the Rams, it was a home game for the Panthers, so that's something to keep about. They're 5-3 at home. They're going to be comfortable playing there again against a team that they already beat, but that is the thing. When you're playing a team that you already played and you beat them, it's hard to beat a team again. And I'm not sure that the Panthers have enough to take down the Los Angeles Rams for a second time. The predictor thinks so as well. 74.9% chance for the Rams, just 25.1% for the Panthers. The Rams are 10.5-point favorites, negative 575 on the money line, plus 425 for the Panthers. 45.5 sits on the over-under. And as I just mentioned, I'm going to be taking the Rams because I don't think the Panthers can beat the same team twice in the Rams this season. That's going to move us on to our second game of the week, which should be a certain game, but I'm saving the late Saturday night game for later on in this pick segment. It's going to go last, and I think you can take your guesses why, but we'll get there in a second. 1 p.m. tomorrow, CBS. This game will also be here on 95.3 The Ticket. The 12-5 Buffalo Bills, who are 5-3 on the road, will travel to take on the 13-4, 7-2 at home Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars have a 51.8% chance to win, 48.2% for Buffalo. 1.5-point favorites are the Bills on the DraftKings lines, though. 51.5 on the over-under, negative 112 for the Bills, negative 108 for Jacksonville. It will be at Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville, Florida. Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, Travis Etienne Jr., James Cook III, Khalif Shakir, P. Washington. I mean, this game is going to be electric. The thing is, Jacksonville's coming in on a 5-game win streak, taking down Indianapolis twice, Denver, the New York Jets, and the Tennessee Titans once. Meanwhile, the Bills are still cruising as well. They're 4-1 in their last five. They have a lone 1-point loss to the Eagles, but they have beat the Jets. They beat the Bengals, the Patriots, who are the 2 seed in the AFC, and they beat the Browns. So this game is going to be great, and I think it's going to be just as close as all of these metrics are pointing to. The question is, who is the team that's going to come out on top? And what's screaming at me is this 7-2 home record for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I got to lean toward patterns, and that is a very strong pattern to see. I'm going to take the Jags to win at home over the Bills. Plus, I mean, Josh Allen has had problems in the playoffs before. Next game tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. on Fox. Also here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's going to be the 12-5 San Francisco 49ers, who are 7-2 on the road, traveling to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 11-6 and they're 5-3 at home. The Eagles have a 56.3% chance. 49ers, 43.7% chance. 5.5-point favorites are the Philadelphia Eagles. -250 on the money line, +205 for the 49ers. 44.5 sits on the over-under. Purdy versus Hurts, McCaffrey versus Barkley. McCaffrey also their leading receiver, going against Devontae Smith as their leading receiver. Trent Williams is questionable. George Kittle, questionable. Fred Warner, obviously out on the IR. Ricky Pearsall, questionable. Yetur Gross, Matus, also questionable. Meanwhile, for the Eagles, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Carter, Lane Johnson, Grant Calcaterra, and Marcus Epps are all going to be questionable coming into this game as well. The Eagles are 3-2 in their last five. They dropped to the Commanders last week, 24-17, and they have an overtime loss to the Chargers, 22-19, a couple weeks ago. They beat Las Vegas, beat Washington, and Buffalo in that same stretch. Meanwhile, the 49ers lost to Seattle, and that's their lone loss in their last five. They beat Chicago, Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Cleveland. The injuries on both sides are questionable, and possibly being without your left tackle, your number one receiving target in George Kittle outside of Christian McCaffrey and Ricky Pearsall, it's an uphill battle, especially without your number one linebacker who's been out for half the season. This game being at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the fans are going to show out for this game. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a close one. But I do pick the Eagles to win this game, and this may come back to bite me. But, hey, we roll and we say, fly, Eagles, fly. You feel me? So the last game coming up on Sunday night, tomorrow, 8 p.m., NBC and Peacock. Also here on 95.3, The Ticket. The 11-6 Chargers, who are 5-3 on the road, will travel to take on the 14-3, 6-3 at home, New England Patriots, who have a 53.5% chance to win compared to the 46.5% chance for the Chargers. A 3.5-point favorite are the Patriots. They're also -192 on that money line, +160 for the Chargers, 45.5 on the over-under. Drake May, who's had a phenomenal season, and many are talking about putting him in the MVP conversation against Justin Herbert. You have Kamani Vidal and Travion Henderson, Stephon Diggs, and Ladd McConkey. I mean, the offenses are there. Amarion Hampton is questionable coming into this game. Keandre Lambert-Smith, questionable as well. Linebacker Delshon Phillips and cornerback Elijah Molden, also questionable. Austin Duclucas is questionable with an oblique injury on the offensive line. For the Patriots, no one notable outside of Kayshon Boutte, questionable. Harold Landry III, the linebacker, is questionable as well. Thayer Munford Jr., it is questionable with a knee injury at offensive tackle. The Patriots are 4-1 in their last five, a lone 4-point loss to the Bills. They took down the Giants, the Ravens, the Jets, and the Dolphins in that stretch. Meanwhile, the Chargers are 3-2 in that same stretch, an overtime victory over the Eagles. They took down the Chiefs, also took down the Dallas Cowboys before losing to Houston and the Denver Broncos to close out the season. And I think that's the difference for me in this game, is that the Chargers are coming off of two losses. There's not a lot of good energy for them coming into this game. Meanwhile, the Patriots are just the number two team in the AFC, almost the number one seed if it wasn't for Denver beating the Chargers. And then they've been running through basically everyone all year. They're playing at home where they're comfortable. That is where their three losses this year have come. But I'm not sure that the Chargers are going to have enough to take them down at home. I'm going to take the Patriots to win this game as well. Monday night, January 12th, ESPN, ABC, 8:15. Also here on a 95.3 The Ticket. 12-5, 5-3 on the road. Houston Texans taking on the 10-7, 6-3 at home. Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers 45.6% chance to win, 54.4% chance for Houston. Houston 3-point favorites, -155 on the money line, +130 for the Steelers, 38.5 on the over under. CJ Stroud versus old man Rodgers. Woody Marks versus Jaylen Warren, who's questionable for this game. Nico Collins versus DJ Metcalf. Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback, Sheldon Rankins, D-tackle, Kamari Lassiter, cornerback, and Titus Howard, offensive tackle, all questionable for the Houston Texans. For the Steelers, Jalen Warren's questionable, but you're without Darnell Washington, Calvin Anderson, and many others who are all on the IR. The Steelers are 4-1 in their last five. Their lone loss, a 7-point loss to the Cleveland Browns. They took down Baltimore twice, Detroit and Miami in that stretch. Meanwhile, the Texans are 5-0 in their last five. Took down Kansas City, Arizona, Las Vegas, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Indianapolis Colts in that same stretch. I'm going to roll with, the trends. If you're coming in on a five-game win streak, why would I think that you're going to lose a game? I think the Houston Texans walk into the Steelers' trap, take it over, and end that game with a victory. And, this one, last one's self-explanatory. 9-7-1, 4-4-1 on the road. Packers taking on the Chicago Bears, 11-6, 6-2 at home. 8 p.m. Prime Video, also going to be here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's 8 p.m. start coming after that game that we talked about earlier between the Rams and Panthers. 8 p.m. at Soldier Field, 56.1% chance for my Packers, 43.9% chance for Chicago, 1.5-point favorites on my Packers, -120 on the money line, even for the Bears, 45.5 on the over-under. We've talked about this game multiple times, and I'm never picking the Bears over my Packers. That gives me Packers, Rams, Jags, Eagles, Patriots, and Texans as we roll into this weekend. Once again, you have the doubleheader going down between the Rams and the Panthers and the Packers and Bears here on 95.3 The Ticket as soon as we're done. Then tomorrow, you get the Bills and the Jags, the 49ers and the Eagles, the Chargers and the Patriots, one after another here on 95.3 The Ticket. And you're going to get Texans and Steelers on Monday. Enjoy a fantastic weekend of sports, because that's exactly what I'll be doing. And we'll be back next week with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.